I'm Earlonne Woods.
I'm Nigel Poor. We're the hosts and creators of Ear Hustle from PRX's Radiotopia.
Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast.
In this next season, we've got stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells.
About residents in a women's prison who say they want to stay there.
And the most beautiful prison garden. Earlonne, I will never forget it.
Ear Hustle. Stories about life on the inside, told by those who live it.
Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
Support comes from Grady Health Foundation, presenting Move for Grady Saturday, April 27th, featuring a family-friendly bike ride through Atlanta's in-town neighborhoods. There's a ride, run, or walk distance for everyone, benefiting Grady Health System. More at moveforgrady.com.
This is Buried Truths. I'm Hank Klibanoff. In season 3 of our podcast, we explored the life and the tragic death of Ahmaud Arbery. He was the 25-year-old jogger who was gunned down by 3 white men in a residential neighborhood. This incident took place near the coastal town of Brunswick in Glynn County, Georgia, in February of 2020. The murder trial for those 3 men, Gregory McMichael, Travis McMichael, and William Roddy Bryan, is set to begin in mid-October of this year, 2021. But there have been some interesting twists leading up to this point. As we proceed with coverage of the trial, I'm going to rely on WABE's Rose Scott to bring you the latest updates. Her daily program, Closer Look, will interview lawyers and journalists and civil rights leaders, and of course, me. So let's start with an interview we did Wednesday, September 8th.
All right, do me a favor, hang tight.
Yeah, I ain't going
to. Let me go.
I would like to get his blood out. I rolled
him. I understand
him
that.
To check his pulse.
Yep.
Or didn't roll him. I pulled his hand out because he had his hand stuck up under his head. I pulled his arm out, and then I realized he didn't have anything in his hand and saw that this ain't going to last long. So is there any way I can...
Give me just a second.
Sure.
Let me get some pictures and stuff like that.
Sure.
And we'll get everything taken
care
of, okay? Give me just a minute.
Yeah, I was chief investigator with the DA's office for 23 years. So I know what you got to do.
Yep.
I know everything, you know.
Yeah, we're just
cover all
our time.
Cover all the bases.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. We're here to help.
That is Greg McMichael, one of 3 men charged in the shooting death of 25-year-old Ahmaud Arbery. It occurred on February 23rd in 2020. Arbery was jogging in a neighborhood near Brunswick, Georgia. Greg McMichael, Travis McMichael, and William Roddy Bryant pursued Arbery. They claimed he was suspected of breaking into homes and added they were making a citizen's arrest, but it would be months before charges. Now, jury selection is scheduled to start next month. There's been so much that's happened from February of last year to now. Joining me is Pulitzer Prize-winning author, professor, director, and teacher of the Georgia Civil Rights Cold Cases Project at Emory University and host of the Peabody Award-winning podcast, Buried Truths. Hank Klibanoff joins me. Hank, good to see you again.
Good to see you, Rose. Thanks for inviting me.
Let's sort of go back a little bit, Hank, before we get into some of the latest news and updates. With all the years and your expertise in covering and uncovering optics around cases like this, when you first heard about this, as you first read about this, you knew that this was going to be one that would have a lot of buried truths.
It seemed so resonant of the kinds of stories we've been doing, both in my Civil Rights Cold Cases class at Emory and on Buried Truths. Those are cases that are from the 40s and the 50s and the 60s. And that's generally where I do all my work.
Mm-hmm.
And this just jumped out at me as being so resonant of those times and reminiscent of it. And not just in the chase and the shooting of Ahmaud Arbery, but in the aftermath, in the way that law enforcement and criminal justice administration handled the case.
Well, what we know is that prosecutors will legally look for what caused this. But you started when you began with this podcast, you wanted to go back. You took the audience through who Ahmaud Arbery was, the history of Glynn County, who the McMichaels were, all of that. But that's key to this case.
Well, I think it is. I mean, we all come from something, and we all, and every event stems from something in the past, and our goal is to look and see what those things might be. And it's an incredible history down in Glenn County and along the Golden Isles, as they call it. And the experiences of white people are going to, are and still were and probably still are very different from the experiences of black people. You know, that was a, Glenn County was almost 90% black during the days of enslavement. Mm-hmm. Black people produced the economy of that region. And, you know, as you get into the 20th century, it starts shifting. And pretty soon there's an out-migration of blacks, but an in-migration of whites. And, as, you know, you've got some beautiful areas of St. Simons and Sea Island and places that are in Jekyll Island, all those beautiful towns down there. But that economy, it has to be said, was built, you know, on the backs of black people.
For the moment, I want to bring in WABE legal analyst and defense attorney Paige Pate. You've heard him so many times on this program. Paige, glad to have you back.
Thank you, Rose. Glad to join you guys.
I want to begin also by explaining to the audience a little bit, coming off of what Hank just said, and through your lens, how important it is to review or set the tone of this current environment where all this happened in Glenn County. Does that matter? Will either side try to bring that into this trial about this is the environment, here's the history of Glenn County? Would that matter? Does that matter to a to the jury?
Well, yes, is the short answer. Of course, the case will likely be tried in Glenn County, even though there's a judge stepping in from Savannah. Both the defense lawyers and the prosecution seem content to go forward with the actual trial in Glenn County. So you're not going to have to explain to the jury the circumstances, the history, the context of this particular incident. They're going to know it. They've lived it. So I think it's important for the prosecution to, you know, follow that narrative. This didn't happen as an isolated incident. The defense, on the other hand, I think will want to show it as an isolated incident. We thought there was a somebody committing burglaries in the area. We tried to pursue him, to hold him for law enforcement. Don't look at anything else here. Just focus on that. But that's not going to be possible because the jury here has lived in this environment. They're going to understand the backgrounds involved, the history, and exactly what happens when you're a young black man running through a predominantly white neighborhood and somebody's out to get you. So I don't think there's going to be any need to stress that. They'll already know.
This case obviously has gained worldwide attention, and obviously coming at a time last year when the nation was involved in so many other protests as it relates to George Floyd, even though this happened before George Floyd, and then Breonna Taylor and everything else up in Milwaukee. So this continues, Hank. This is nothing new. And in terms of the racial tensions, it relates to when a man, particularly a black man, is killed at the hands of white people that it appears could have been racially motivated.
Well, it certainly does reflect a lot of the kinds of situations we've examined. The one big difference between the cases that we've talked about before and this is that the cases we looked at in the past, the juries were all white. And there was, you know, a black person didn't have much of a chance. This will be a mixed jury. Blacks, whites, probably Asians, probably, you know, it'll be a diverse jury. How diverse? I don't know. And, you know, Paige would be better able probably to tell us how much does the world opinion matter on these cases. Some juries maybe would be cowed by that or influenced by that. Some might be defiant of it and resistant to it. I would imagine that can go either way.
Paige, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I'll tell y'all about a comment I heard shortly after the initial indictment and arrest of these folks. I was in the Glenn County Courthouse on another matter, and there was two African-American court workers at the time just having a conversation between themselves about the case. And they were saying, you know, that's about enough of this. They were clearly upset at the amount of attention that was being focused at that point on Glenn County and the court system here. So while I think you're going to find most people in Glynn County believe that a crime was committed, a murder occurred, there will be some pushback on the amount of attention and focus, especially if the media narrative is just a bunch of racists down in Glynn County. So it's going to be tough with all that attention to be on that jury in such a small community with so many people watching.
And Paige and Hank, I want to make sure I'm correct, too, because jury selection in this case is scheduled to start next month, but the actual trial may not start till early 2022. Is that correct?
Yes, and there are all kinds of issues right now that could even throw that clock off. In Glynn County, COVID is running rampant. The hospitals are jam-packed right now. There's been some discussion, although not any formal decision, to move the trial date. So while those dates have been set and Judge Walmsley wants to keep them, there's the possibility it could be continued.
All right. Now, Paige, let's set for our audience the charges. Let's begin with the McMichaels. What are their charges?
Well, in state court, they are all three facing murder charges, malice murder, felony murder, and then the underlying felony offenses of aggravated assault and false imprisonment for their attempt to restrain, detain, and eventually kill Ahmaud Arbery.
And we should note, Paige, the McMichaels and Brian, they have remained detained throughout this whole time, correct?
Yes, they have. It is not at all uncommon to remain in jail pending trial if you're charged with murder in Georgia. I thought there was a possibility that they could be released given their lack of any criminal history. The circumstances of this case being a little bit different than more the traditional murder cases we see in the courthouse in Glynn County. But the judge denied bond for all of them. So, yes, they're detained.
And, Paige, there's been another major development here as it relates to an indictment. And I'm going to let you pick it up from here.
Sure. The former district attorney in Brunswick, Jackie Johnson, was indicted in Glynn County by the Attorney General's office on basically two charges. One is a felony offense for violating her oath of office. And basically, the Attorney General is saying by showing favoritism to the McMichaels, by denying fairness to the Arbery family, she violated her public oath of office when she became a district attorney. She swore to treat people fairly and with due process, and the Attorney General says she didn't. The second charge against her is a misdemeanor, but I actually think it's the stronger charge, and that's obstruction of the officers. What happened, according to what we've heard reported and what some of the witnesses have said, is that when the officers appeared on the scene to talk to the McMichaels about what had happened, they reached out to the district attorney's office, and Jackie Johnson, either personally or through her deputies, informed the officers not to arrest the McMichaels, or specifically Greg McMichael. And the attorney general is saying by doing that, she obstructed those officers in the lawful discharge of their duties. They don't work for Jackie Johnson. Mm-hmm. They work for the Glynn County Police Department. So when she stepped in, asserted herself, and told them what not to do, that could be a crime.
And Paige, what do we know about Jackie Johnson's response?
Well, I know she's denied the charges, and something you guys may not know is she actually was booked into the Glynn County Detention Center this morning. She was released very quickly on a signature bond, basically on her own recognizance, and we, of course, expected that. So she's been booked, she's been processed, but she denies doing anything inappropriate. She said she recused herself as soon as she realized it involved the McMichaels, and that's been her defense so far.
I want to shift now because I want the audience to hear a clip that is from the season 3 of Buried Truths.
I'm devastated by this. 20 years.
Here's what Johnson had to say about the allegation that her office short-circuited the case against the McMichaels. Johnson is speaking with WIFO, known as Big Dog Country in tiny Jessup, Georgia, just inland from Brunswick. Now, this was in May 2020, 3 months after Ahmaud was killed.
And the police stated they want to make an arrest right away, but you advised them not to. Any truth to that?
No, that's absolutely absolutely not true. I was watching television Friday night, and I saw my face flash up there, and then I saw that quote, and I was just horrified because that's so far from the truth. It's just a straight-up lie.
Johnson cannot say enough about her distance from the case.
At the time, but I don't know what evidence was available, what evidence they had. I didn't go to the police department. I didn't look at the evidence because I knew I couldn't be involved in the case. I didn't want to know about the evidence, and I didn't ask about the evidence, and I didn't go and look at the evidence.
Jackie Johnson seems to be saying she stayed away from the evidence. Did you get that too?
I saw the video again the first time last week.
Paige Bate, your defense attorney, smart move on Jackie Johnson to be so open about this during a radio program?
No, I don't think so. If she's thinking like a criminal defendant, which of course at the time she was not, she had not been charged. I think she saw herself as being immune to any possible criminal charges. And perhaps more importantly, she knew she was going to have a very tough reelection campaign later in the year, which of course ultimately she lost. But by doing that interview, she locked herself into a story that I don't think her assistants are backing up, because they have shown up now on the list of witnesses for the Attorney General's office in the pending criminal case against her.
Paige, if she is found guilty, this could be the end of her legal career?
It could. In fact, I don't believe she's practicing law now. As we discussed, she lost the election as district attorney. She's not been active in the practice of law, but if she's convicted of a felony offense like violating her oath of office, then yes, she could also be disbarred as a result of that.
And what do you all make of Greg McMichael's seemingly to name drop? This is on the day of the shooting. We have clips of that, but he name drops. He makes it known that he's been involved, you know, that he has a name in a sense that people should know him. What do you make of that, Hank?
He did more than name drop. He said, you know, I've been a chief investigator here in the same department you're with for 23 years. But he does something else. He walks over to the side, and this, you know, others hear this, and he calls Jackie Johnson, according to the indictment of Jackie Johnson. And you know, he says, hello, Jackie, this is Greg. Well, a voice that was very familiar to her, he's presuming. And he says, you know, according again to the various things that have been out there, could you call me as soon as you possibly can? My son and I have been involved in a shooting, and I need some advice right away. It is that sort of thing that led the indictment to accuse her of showing, quote, favor and affection, close quote, toward Greg McMichael.
And we should note that it is being reported that a record of Greg McMichael's cell phone calls on that day does not reveal that Johnson called him back, at least from a number that's publicly on file.
Mm-hmm. You love free, and at Ameris Bank, so do we. That's why we're proud to offer worry-free, hassle-free Ameris Bank free checking. Manage your money your way with convenient access to digital, mobile, and telephone banking, all with no monthly service fee or minimum balance requirements. At Ameris Bank, we're with you. For more information or to open an account, visit our local bankers in person or online at amerisbank.com/free checking. Other fees such as overdraft fees may apply. Ameris Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Support for WABE's local coverage on maternal health and mortality comes from Georgia Health Initiative, whose mission is to inspire and promote collective action that advances health equity for all Georgians. Learn more at GeorgiaHealthInitiative.org.
Paige, I want to talk about the latest developments here, and that is being able to admit, if you want to call it evidence or information about Ahmaud Arbery's past. And it was ruled that that cannot play a role in this trial. What was the defense hoping to be able to garner with that, if it would have been allowed?
Well, I think a couple of things, Rose. I think, number one, they wanted to let the jury have the impression that maybe Ahmaud Arbery was not just innocently out for a jog that day, that he was perhaps going to get into some trouble. He was trying to break into this house under construction. The idea is to suggest to the jury, he's not squeaky clean, and you shouldn't treat him as somebody who's completely innocent in any of this. The second issue, of course, and even more importantly, is to suggest that there was a legitimate reason for the McMichaels to pursue him, Ahmaud Arbery, and to try to detain him that day. I mean, that's going to be the entire defense. I've heard their lawyers speak in the media. I know their lawyers well. And they're going to rely on the defense of citizens' arrest in this case. And for them to do that, they have to be able to suggest to the jury there was a need for an arrest. And so his past from the defense side is relevant to show that he could have been engaged in criminal activity at that time.
Hank, what do you want to follow up with what Paige just talked about?
Well, unless something happens in the court in which the judge himself says, you know, he knows the statute, and the statute says that the people who are imposing the citizen's arrest have to actually witness the felonious activity, and that there's been no suggestion that the McMichaels or Roddy Bryant saw anything that went on inside the house. And unless he throws it out, that'll become an argument for the lawyers during the trial. Rose, I'd like to go back on one thing, if I might, having to do with the fact that the defense cannot now bring in Ahmaud Arbery's past record. Not only does it take out a huge, you know, the fangs from their defense, I think, but it shifts their responsibility now to elevate the people who are on trial and to overcome what we know will be the prosecution claim that they acted with racist intent. And we know from the preliminary hearing, they have several examples, particularly of Travis McMichael and Roddy Bryan using racist terminology, sending racist text messages or Instagram postings and things such as that. But we also know from the motions that they filed at the bond hearing, and that is they being the defense attorneys, that they have a case they want to make that these guys are not racist, and they have commendations from people that, in which they tried to save the life of a black man, or they have one of Travis McMichael's Coast Guard roommates who is African-American saying he is a fine person, he's a good guy. I've never seen that kind of behavior or heard that kind of language from him. So that's going to be a point of contention, I think, at trial, particularly now that they cannot elevate the Ahmaud Arbery's past. And I say they can't. They will be able to, and Paige knows this better than I, should the prosecution slip up in some way and open the door to that.
Correct me if I'm wrong, gentlemen. There are reports that one of the McMichaels used the N-word either directly after the shooting or as Arbery was, or was, is that hearsay?
No, it was Roddy Bryan.
Roddy Bryan.
Apparently, yeah. Said that. However, that he heard Travis McMichael say it as Ahmaud Arbery's lying on the ground, and frankly, he could have even still been alive. And he uses the N-word in reference to Ahmaud Arbery. I will also say that if you talk to Bob Rubin and Jason Sheffield, who are stellar attorneys, along with the others who represented the other defendants, they say, well, the first four times that they interviewed Roddy Bryant, he didn't bring that up. It's only when he realized he needed a hook to get off that he brought that up.
Right. And that won't be admissible at trial if Roddy Bryan is sitting at the counsel table with them, because he's unlikely to take the stand. And so if the McMichaels defense lawyers can't cross-examine him on that statement, then it won't be admissible at trial.
Paige, would it be possibly to the best defense for Roddy Bryan to try to make a deal before this goes to trial?
I think you have to consider that. I mean, anytime you have a murder charge pending against you, I mean, that's life in prison. So if there's a way to become a witness and admit responsibility for what you did, clearly he, you know, put himself in the middle of this. He had no idea what was going on other than they were chasing a black man through the neighborhood, which is reason enough to be charged the way he is. But he's certainly, I think, less culpable. Because he didn't have a firearm, he didn't discharge a firearm. He probably could work out some sort of resolution, but I don't know. You know, he's from this Glenn County. He's going to live in that community. Does he want to testify against the McMichaels and deal with whatever consequences that may cause him and his family? I don't know.
And Paige, I remember once when we were talking about this, and I had a listener send an email who wanted to know why William Roddy Bryant was also being charged with Arbery's murder, even though he did not, you know, wasn't holding the weapon. And could you explain why in here, and this is, happens in a lot of states, why all three were charged with the killing of Ahmaud Arbery?
Yes, I can. And it's true both in the state case as well as the federal case. And here's why. In Georgia, we have this legal theory called party to a crime. If someone is involved in the criminal activity to the extent that they either should be aware of the consequences of that activity or just are recklessly not concerned with it, they can be responsible for what happened. So let's say in a different example, two people are driving a truck to go rob a convenience store. One of them has a gun, goes into the store, shoots the clerk, kills the clerk, gets back out. The two of them drive off. The other guy may have never left the truck to go inside the store, but he can also be charged with that murder because he was a party to that crime. He was involved with it and should have known that if you're going to rob a store and the guy with you has a gun, there's a strong likelihood that a death could occur. And it's a similar type of theory in federal court, although it's called principal and accomplice liability. It's the same idea. If you're involved, if you have the intent to commit this crime, you're going to be responsible if someone ends up dying as a result of it.
And finally, as we begin to wrap up, there's something that we haven't talked about because it is so crucial, and that is, Hank and Paige, if we don't have that cell phone video footage, are we even having this conversation right now?
I'd say highly unlikely. I'd say it would be very unlikely. This was not a case that was even rose to the local newspaper's level early on, you know, and disappeared from the news coverage once it was first mentioned for weeks and weeks and weeks until the video came out. So I don't think that we would be in this situation.
Paige, I'll give you the last word on that.
I'll take it a step further. Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. Hank is right. There was some coverage of the incident, but as you'll recall, the way it was being explained to Ahmaud's mother was that, look, he was trying to rob somewhere in there, and they caught him and shot him, unfortunately, but he shouldn't have been in the area. And that would have been the end of it. That's the story that was living in Glynn County about this incident for a long time. If that video had not been released, and if the media had not picked it up, and if the attorney general's office and the governor's office had not intervened, there would be no prosecution of the McMichaels or Roddy Bryant.
Defense attorney and WABE legal analyst Paige Pate. I was also joined by Hank Klibanoff, director and teacher of the Georgia Civil Rights Cold Cases Project at Emory University, and of course, host of WABE's podcast, Buried Truths. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
And thank you so much, Rose Scott. Now, you can listen to Rose and her Closer Look, as I do, every weekday at 1 p.m. Just ask your smart speaker to play WABE or go to WABE.org. And make sure, please, that you subscribe to Buried Truths on your favorite podcast player. We'll have many more updates about the trial as the months progress. This is Buried Truths. I'm Hank Klibanoff.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
The world is full of mysteries. Are ghosts real? Is that yogurt expired? Hey, the unknown can be scary, but when you donate to WABE, you know where your money is going. Your gift supports the journalism that keeps you informed and the programs that pull back the curtain on complicated stories. Help us make the world less mysterious. Become a member now. Go online to wabe.org/donate, and thanks.